Schumer spoke on the Senate floor and said Republicans are on a path that's increasingly extremist. He argued MAGA Republicans are also injecting ridiculous conspiracy theories into the national bloodstream. The Senate's top Republican is again blaming Democrats for soaring inflation.
The historic high inflation Democrats helped unleash with runaway spending last spring is taking its toll on America's hope for the future.
Speaking on the Senate floor, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called it a bonanza of spending that has led to historic hardships, including skyrocketing gas prices. Thousands of containers full of baby formula were being destroyed for months, but now Georgia's Department of Public Health has reversed its policy. Liz Kennedy reports.
In October of 2021, the state's special supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children began dumping more than 16,000 containers of unopened, unexpired baby formula. The AJC reports that was the state policy, but that policy has now been reversed. According to a spokeswoman for the Department of Public Health, the baby formula will be donated to local food pantries. The change came after local hunger relief groups found out what was happening with the formula amid the shortage.
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is announcing its hurricane forecast for this year.
An above normal 2022 Atlantic hurricane season, which would make this year the seventh consecutive above normal season.
NOAA Administrator Rick Spinrad said NOAA believes there will be between 14 and 21 named storms. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Is your current home loan the right fit for you? Rising home values mean that you could have more home equity than you might imagine. And if you're considering a refi, an expertly chosen loan from Loan Depot could save you thousands. Ask about their smart term loans, cash out, and over 300 loan options to find just the right mortgage loan for you. Call now, 866-888-LOAN, or go to loandepot.com. Loan Depot, where home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 174457, licensed in all 50 states.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies today and a 20% chance of showers. We'll also have a little bit of wind out of the south to southeast at 3 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures around 63 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, lows back down to about 52. For Wednesday, partly sunny skies, shaping up to be a pretty nice day. Highs of around 67, 68. Mostly cloudy skies for Wednesday night, lows down to about 53. Thursday, more clouds and a 40% chance of showers returning. Highs of around 66.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By, and we are featured on a number of stations, especially our friends in the Seattle area, AM/FM, Mr. Benny, KKNW, AM/FM, AM 1150. Hello.
Yeah, I thought the station was Mr. Benny. That'd be kind of cool, the way you started it. The way you started it,
yes.
Out.
Oh,
I guess you don't like that.
Well, you know, how did I forget that? So here's the question, Benny. 20 years, and I didn't get that right?
No,
you
got it right.
I'm looking at your logo.
No, you got it right. I was just going to be like, oh, we can change it there, like KBNY, you know? So it's Benny's station, like, rather than KKNY.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be a great venture for me.
It would be.
Jacob's in. I know. He's down.
Jacob's like, okay, we're really going to change our name. Jacob's like, we're going to go, we've been TTR since 2009. Now we're TTN because it's the network.
Uh-huh.
And so even with that, it's kind of like mentally, mindfully,
spiritually you lean into it. And, you know, it's so interesting about this because part of today is, you know, I've got, Benny, you know, Aura Nadrich is joining me here today, mindfulness and mysticism. You know what? It's almost impossible for me to imagine mindfulness without mysticism. It's just like, it's just a little bit like I mean, 20 years ago when I started to do this, I didn't even understand what those two words even meant. But this is a fabulous message in a fantastic book. And Aura was saying that, you know, it's been a while since she's been on, but what is it that people do in between being on my show? Well, they do a lot. They do a lot, but she's always done a lot. She's the president of the Institute for Transformational Thinking. She's the author of many things, but, you know, Live True, Mindfulness Guide to Authenticity. So you see what the theme is, you know, named in the 100 best mindfulness books of all time. And now you think she's going to stop there? Certified life coach, mindfulness teacher, specializes in transformational thinking. That's why I'm so excited to talk with her today, because I'm going to learn some things. Self-discovery. And I think about this, and I think to myself, here we are. And we haven't connected in a while since our last book. Here we are again. And there are two things that I think about. And this is something Linda, myself, and Jessica thought about. We're figuring out a way on a regular basis to bring panels of people back in between their books, like in between their speaking, in between their dog catching, whatever they do. There is a message that we are going to create, especially in our TV launch, because we want to bring panels together because people are hungry, and they're hungry for what she does. This book and the journey of this and the forward in the book by the 14th Dalai Lama, and when I think about connecting present moment awareness with higher states of consciousness, isn't this the magic? And how we get to from wherever we are, wherever y'all are right now, right? And you guys have heard my story, or we're going to talk about Aura's story in a minute. Wherever you are, whatever's in your bank account really isn't you. Whatever you think you are, you're much more than that. She says it in this beautiful book. And at some point, we are going to get to the chapter on supernatural powers. But right now, I am so thrilled and honored to have Aura join us here today. It's a stunning book. It's beyond stunning. It is a book to help us get off the couch, or if you're on the couch, have incredible moments there. Or it's great to have you. Welcome.
Oh, Dr. Pat, it's so great to be with you again. Wow.
So, you know, Benny and I have been together for 20 years. That was, Benny is like, 20 years, like, and I'm not even getting the network right, right? But, you know, there are moments where it's hard to explain how our hearts get filled. And I was reading your book. I go through the book. I go through the book once and then I go back. And when I went back, I noticed there are just really cool things that you've done in the book. You know, like even before a chapter like Awaken Now, I am awake, but I must awaken more to know that I've been asleep far too long. Hello, doesn't that sum up where we've been for 3 years now? Tell me about this.
Thank you for pointing that out, Dr. Pat. Yeah, I mean, it's been quite a ride. You know, we really have been on quite the ride for the last couple of years, and I think it's really important to talk about it. You know, I mean, I do say that I like to go to places where a lot of people aren't comfortable, and what I want to say about that is we have to learn how to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? It's really important to look at things that have caused us tremendous pain and suffering and confusion and all those things, because the only way we can navigate the choppy waters of life is to really be able to move through them in the best way possible, in an intelligent way, in a mindful way, in a present way. Do you know what I mean? That's why I love talking about mindfulness, because it brings you into present moment awareness to know exactly what's going on in the moment that you're in right now.
Yeah. This is really, for me, when I think about this, is, and I would love for you to comment on my comment earlier, because I think it's at the core of the book in a lot of ways. And I don't know I love the cover and I love the back of the book. So I just got to say that. I'm going to hold it up in a minute unless Jacob, I think Jacob may have it, but this, I just got to show everybody. But then I got to, I mean, we're talking light language, sacred geometry. Of course we are.
Thank you, Pat. And I want a shout out to Dimitri, who works with me, who's just a total artist.
I have to, you and I need to talk with Dimitri. I've got a few ideas. But I made a comment, and I think I've known this in my life, but I think I didn't understand it. And it is the core essence of the book that I want to ask you about before we dig a little bit deeper. I know today, when I wake up, I have a practice. It's a little short one, but I have it. And it brings into being, at my level, from what I know how to do, mindfulness and mysticism. It is so refreshing to see that you have brought both into harmony in this book. But I made a comment, and I don't know if my comment's true. I don't know how to separate them now to create transformation in my own personal life and even in the network. Can you talk to that for a minute?
That is just so perceptive of you to say that, because what I say to people as a mindfulness practitioner for as long as I've been doing it, the amazing thing about being on the mindfulness trajectory, you know, when people say, well, what is mindfulness? Mindfulness is the practice of being in the present moment with total awareness. Okay, well, we know how many moments there are in a day, how many moments there are in a week, how many moments there are in a month, how many moments are in a year, and how many moments we're going to experience in our lifetime. It seems infinite. So if you look at that and say, what is the present moment about right now? Well, when you start to become a more mindfully aware human being, I say it's like a camera, like the lens of a camera. It starts to widen and widen and widen more to the point where you see so much more. And it is amazing and mind-blowing. It comes down to, Dr. Pat, how much do you want to see? How much do you want to be aware of? How sharp do you want your lens of vision to be? That's personal. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's up to you. That's up to me. You know, somebody can look at a sunset and go, uh-huh, that's nice. And someone can look at a sunset or a sunrise and have their mind blown.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. You know how I know what you mean? Okay, ready? So it's interesting. I love certain movies. I grew up as a sci-fi. I mean, honestly, even as a really young kid, that's where I spent every Saturday, just in the weirdest movies. But I'm a little fascinated with the latest Matrix movie, and it got really bad reviews in the context of the original. Of course it would. However, I was fascinated by it for a lot of reasons. But there's a scene at the end where Trinity gets up from this horrible scene at the end with the guns and the whole thing. There's this moment where she looks out and you could see the expression on her face. It is for me, it's like she's having a spiritual experience right there. And she's looking out and all she says is, it's beautiful. See, we have to get back to, yes, it's a movie, but that moment, that is a humanity moment, isn't it?
Oh, Dr. Pat, you are just, you know, singing to my soul. First of all, I happen to love Carrie Ann Moss.
I love her.
Love her, and she is a very, very conscious woman, number one. Let's just start with that. So whatever she put into that scene and all the scenes in the movie is going to raise the vibration of that movie anyway, okay? So that scene that you're talking about is really what I talk about even in the chapter of mindfulness and mysticism and perception. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
I do.
It all comes down to perception. It all comes down to, again, the way in which you see something, do you know? And if you use the filter, which I describe that in a quote in the book, I think it's Descartes. I don't know. I have so many quotes in the book about
yes, you do.
The filter becomes the soul of which we are looking through to see things. Imagine what you can see and what a high vibrational level you're seeing something at. Do you know? We don't have to see things just as they're presented to us, because if we saw things just as they're presented to us day in and day out, it would be pretty bleak, okay? And it's incumbent upon us to say, oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going to let things outside of myself, things that we know like media, social media, the news, all that dictate how I should see the universe.
You know, and let's talk about that, because there are a couple things in the book, and I want to share this with everybody for those of you just tuning in. The book is Mindfulness and Mysticism, or I want to take a minute. Benny, I'd like to skip the break if we could, Jacob. I want to take a minute because I want people to find out about you. I want them to go ahead and get the book, because I did a brief introduction of just trying to explain what you do. And, you know, there are sometimes there are no words, but it's because of your messaging. It's because that I love being a student. I just love being able to understand things that I never thought I could understand and yet watch my life change. See, I want that for people. That's why we have this network. That's why you do what you do. But I would love for people to get to know you, to go to your website, and let's tell them how to do this. Let's tell them about the book. But let's also talk about the fact that there are mindfulness sessions that people can plug into. We need to help people, Aura.
Yes, we do. We really do. And what I'm seeing, first of all, AuraNatridge.com, that's my website. There's a lot going on that website. Check it out. Thank you. Check it out. Yes, people do, and people are. And listen, when I wrote a book called Mindfulness and Mysticism, I've been teaching mindfulness for a very long time, starting with the entry level of just what it means to be present, okay, just to show up in a moment of your life fully present. When I decided to write this book, Mindfulness and Mysticism, which I felt really called to do, using a word in a title like mysticism, I thought to myself, okay, some people are going to think it's too esoteric. I wrote a book on metaphysics. You know, maybe they won't really resonate to it. I've had more people resonate to this book than I could have ever imagined, because people are ready to get more information. And it's not information that isn't something that they should know about. It isn't just kept for those that only seek sacred knowledge that's esoteric or metaphysical. I want to debunk that. That's why I wanted to say I want to take the mystery out of mysticism, you know, and bring it into a 21st century context, so that we can live our lives more mystically, more magically, just more amazingly, if you will. You can call it whatever you want. You know, like, why do we have to live our lives day in and day out thinking it's got to be some mundane, doldrum kind of way that we have to just be at the effect of all this negativity that's being thrown at us 24/7? I defy that. I'm like, no, you create your own universe. You create your own reality. You know, it's like it's not dictated for you. Yes, there are things that are going on in the universe that are very disturbing to us right now, but it isn't coming upon us, which is why I think the book is so timely, to define how we want to see not only our reality play out, but the collective. We're all part of this awakening that's happening right now.
Yeah. You know, you could actually, okay, like here's me now telling you what you could do. You ready for this? Fasten your seatbelt. You know, as I went through the book, I thought, you know how you have in the book, let's talk about the book. In the book, on some of the pages, you have these beautiful messages in red. Thank you for using a color. You can literally pull every one of those out, and that would be a separate book. I don't know how many there are, but they're amazing. When I went through the book, what I was really so struck by is how you take us on a walk, a journey. It's a walk. It's like when I studied with Lakota tradition and Monica, she says, may you walk in beauty. See, and this is what I get from this. May you walk in beauty. And yet you're taking us through and you're giving us some tools. I want to talk about divine thought illumination. Now, I've heard a lot of words and I've heard a lot of phrases in 20 years. And this I love. I gave it an acronym. I liked it DTI, but don't pay any attention to that, okay?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. But I just loved it. It's like I got to remember it. Right? I have a little learning different thing, so I have to do DTI, Divine Thought Illumination. And then I went to a place, and you have to help us here, because I think I'm like our listeners. I went to the place, am I going to get there? I had this moment of sadness. And, of course, it's in the front of the book. And as I read the rest of the book, I got the answer. But how many people do we want to speak with right now, look at them in the camera, look at them in the eye, and say, this is you. You are this. What would you say, Aura?
Well, you really, you know, said it quite beautifully. You know, this is you, and this is who you are. We are divine beings. We come into this incarnation as divine, perfect spirits that are inhabiting this body. You know, I love the quote by philosopher, mystic, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, lest we forget. We are these divine spirits that are inhabiting this body. What do we want this life to be? Just to be at the effect of a more base, kind of dense energy that keeps us stuck in these human experience, and we don't really lift the moments higher and go, wait a minute, there's a lot of magic to this creation. Let me tap into it, which everybody can. And I really also want to say, Dr. Pat, it's not like I'm saying, oh, let's just be like, you know, high out of our minds 24/7 in some altered universe that is just, you know, mind-blowing. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that we can tap into divine consciousness, whatever that means to you. That's personal, whether it's in a religious context or a spiritual context, whether it's God, divine person, unity consciousness, source, the absolute, Christ consciousness. You can call it whatever you want. Call it your cat. I don't care what you want to call it. We can tap into this divine knowing of what we're doing here on this planet Earth and live our lives with just a greater sense of intelligence and knowledge and wisdom. And it's going to change your whole trajectory if you want it. It's available to you. That's really all I'm saying in my book, Pat. I'm offering, I'm welcoming, I'm inviting you in, as you said, to take this journey.
You know what I love about this, Aura? It's like, yes, all of that's true, but it's how you do it. You know, I had a mentor a long time ago that said, Pat, you're going to learn in life. One, you can't take a person to a place you haven't gone. But two, it's not so much about like the end game. It's like how you get there. And I studied that in my research for 10 years. And the reason I know that it's this is, may I read again from your book?
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
I step upon the path of the divine. I ask that my soul guide me so that I may live a divine life. I am present and ready to listen. If we could start our day, everyone listening, every day, and have a moment. Mine is, I ask God the divine, thank you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for today. Please tell me what is mine to do today. Because I need guidance. And there'll be days where I have to ask that. But the reason I'm bringing it up is it sets the stage for being and becoming for everything you said in the book, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, it does. And, you know, asking of that guidance, which is so beautiful, even when we're really having a hard time, you know what I mean? When we're having a hard time, it's very hard not to have much faith. It's very hard to really not believe that we are actually even in the presence of divine guidance, you know? And really what that means is that we're in alignment to receive. We're in alignment to, as you said, to listen, to hear. If we ask the questions, what is my understanding today? What am I meant to know today?
Yep.
How can I be in service today? How can I get through the day? How can I just get through the day better? You know, whatever that question is for you, when you ask those questions and trust that you will be guided, you will be guided.
Mm-hmm. You know, here we go. Right? Didn't know this, but as I was reading, the next thing you talk about, and if people could do a little bit of what you and I are saying just to kick off their day or end their day, it is a moment of self-surrender, isn't it? It is a moment of humility to be able to step back and be open and receive. And you know, I say once a day, but to be honest with you, every time I'm in the middle of something or I start something, it is in the back of my mind to ask. let's talk about the self-surrender, because if we cannot do that, even from an esoteric, even from an intuitive perspective, one, we're not going to hear the guidance. Two, we're not going to be able to take the action. And that's later on. But part of this is, as you discuss in the book, the importance of lifting the veil before we can get to the spiritual shift. Let's hear from you, because you talk about lifting the veil really interestingly. And there are a lot of people that will be like, I don't really, what veil? Do I have a veil? Can you address that for a minute?
Yeah, I want to circle back to what you said about you can't think of mindfulness without really thinking of mysticism, which is really where I was going with this book. It was like I wanted to say, you will see differently. Keep staying present. Keep showing up for the moments of your life, because the more present you get, the more aware you become. The more aware you become, the more conscious you become. The more conscious you become, the more you see. The more you see, it starts to go into an upward mobile trajectory that is extraordinary. Okay, so having said that, something like lifting the veils, I use that as a metaphor in that there's so much more for us to see. And there's a lot that's being shrouded from us seeing it. You know, I love to use the analogy of the Wizard of Oz, you know, and the wizard who was a little old man that was behind a curtain. It took Toto the dog to pull the curtain open to show Dorothy and her three friends that were in desperate need of a brain, a heart, and wisdom, I believe, that they were being scared by this very ominous, very frightening voice of a little old man behind a curtain. And unless Toto hadn't pulled that curtain open, they would have thought that it was some entity that was greater than them, that was some, you know, masterful entity that was to be feared, and that they would have to follow. You know, and that's a very powerful image, the whole idea of what the Wizard of Oz was showing us. You know, we all loved the movie and we were cheering for Dorothy, you know, to get back to Kansas and wake up from this dream. But I use that as a metaphor because that's a perfect example of the veils that I'm talking about. You know, push back the veil, lift the veil, look at something that's being presented to you and ask yourself some questions. Does this really seem truthful to me? Is this real for me? What is my intuition telling me right now? My intuition is telling me that what I'm seeing or what I'm being told to see or what I'm hearing is not resonating to my inner barometer that it is true. Do you know? That's lifting the veils. And the more you question, the more you probe, the more you don't just accept what is readily told to you is gospel, it's incumbent upon all of us to find out what is the truth around us, just like, you know, happened in The Wizard of Oz. So I love that metaphor. I think it really speaks volumes about how before you're so quick to believe something is what it's telling you it is,
yep,
might just not be true.
I love this. You know, part of what I'm really excited about is, you know, this idea of transcending, I think you call it transcending the ordinary. And I want to talk about that when we come back from break. But before we do that, you know, how do people get a copy of the book? How do they find out more about you? Let's make sure they know that, and we'll take a short break.
Again, orinagers.com. You can order my book on Amazon. That's the quickest way to get it. And I just recorded an audio version of it. I'm super excited about getting that out there for those that don't like to hold a book in their hand but prefer listening. It's going to be available in all ways.
And when we come back, what we're going to talk about is how do you acknowledge where you are today? How do you keep your eye on the vision for where you want to go? And then how can you be kind to yourself in getting there by literally looking at what Aura has laid out? Everything from addiction and mysticism, very important thing. The dark night of the soul, I thank you, dark night of the soul. I thank you so much for that. But when you have these moments, how do you know you're having them? How do you know you're in a spiritual place, of transcendence. And I want to say this to all of you listening and you're thinking, that's not me. I go to my job. I wake up. I got to take the subway. I got to go to New York. I got to look at. We're all there. But this is for everyone. And it is the key to help us repair, remodel, and reboot from the past 3 years. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Aura.
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great and Oz has spoken.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude? Living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Tune in to Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself. And we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Divinity within you. Join Lisa Bels on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Hi, I'm Coach Martez.
And I'm licensed therapist with Drina Layton.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Martez and with Drina Layton show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insight on how to turn things around and gain the Married for Life mindset.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Okay, let me digress, Benny. Benny?
Yes? Uh-huh.
Guess who I heard is going on tour again.
Well, I'm Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, she's on tour.
Oh, really?
The big guy, Yellow Brick Road guy, Elton John.
Well, he's been on tour, too.
He doesn't stop, but this is now, I think he's calling it, or you're going to relate to this, right? This is so related to what we're talking about. The final farewell, final
He's
tour.
Been doing the final farewell, final of final farewell tours. It doesn't end. You're right.
Oh, my gosh.
So we'll leave it at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Why does he just call it the never-ending tour?
That's true.
The never-ending Yellow Brick Road. Hello. Oh, my God. Okay, so we could have a whole conversation about what's your favorite song on that? What's your so Dirty Little Girl, maybe, or Funeral for a Friend. Okay, let's not. But all of this, so, or one of the things that I love is when I'm reflecting on the book, and there's so much in it, and I know we're not going to get through all of it today, but I am so really honored by the way that you take us and remind us gently of the human spirit. And then I started to read about the book, right? I mean, so I'm going to read again, Benny. It says, my spirit breathes life into me each day, each and every day. I acknowledge it, I listen to it, and I allow for it to guide me in all that I do. When I do that, everything lines up. When I don't do that, crazy town happens.
Yes. I say, Pat, Dr. Pat, love calling you doctor because you are. And you're the doctor of definitely transformation going on today. That's for sure. Yeah,
thank you.
Is to take a spiritual pulse. To take a spiritual pulse. You know, to start your day taking a spiritual pulse. How do we check in with ourselves? When I say a spiritual pulse, you know, some listeners might go, what is she talking about? Like, what's a spiritual pulse? It's like, check in with your spirit. And ask your spirit, how are you doing? You have a right to ask yourself some questions. How am I doing? How's my spirit doing? How's the spirit that breathes life into my being doing? So, you know, I say in the book, Dr. Pat, what do we remember when somebody's no longer with us, when they've passed on? We remember their spirit. We remember their essence. We remember what breathes life into their body. That's what's happening. You know,
yeah.
That's what we're really feeling about someone is their energy, their spirit, do you know? So when we listen to our spirit and we take a spiritual pulse and ask ourselves, how am I doing? That's what we want to do. We want to check in with ourselves and find that out. It's very important.
I have to tell you this. I love and was surprised and still surprised and still love that I'm reading the book and I get to a point in the book and I say, now she's talking about me and my family. Okay, what? Wait a minute. Intelligent beings, I got that. Awaken, I'm right there. Chapter 17, Addiction and Mysticism. Oh, my God. And I got here. Thank you for putting Carl Jung's quote in there. But I got to ask you, I mean, is it because, I didn't even know the question to ask you. All I know is I come from a family. My mom committed suicide. She was an addict, prescribed drugs, because people that are feisty back then when she was a woman, you just got to drug them. Then you start to drink. And my family, myself, my sister, we all went through it. Myself, I ended up homeless at 17. I buried two stepsisters about 5 or 6 years ago. My sister died on a hospital floor. My mom's heart exploded from overwork. And so I opened the book and I said, thank you, Aura. Thank you. But I got to ask you, this is purposely put in the book and you put the smack dab right in the middle. What were you sensing? What were you feeling? And was it because we're coming off probably three of the most addictive style type behavioral years we've seen in a long time? What is it? Tell me. Tell me what came to your heart here.
Well, keep in mind, Dr. Pat, that I wrote this book before.
You did. That's right.
Before, you know, which I felt was very sort of prophetic and omniscient. Like, what was I downloading? You know, what was coming to me? I was like, you know, I think I'm going to take this journey myself into going deeper, taking a deeper dive into what it means to be in present moment awareness, you know, and I went all in, you know, I went all in with it. And addiction is huge. And that chapter, I remember what I was feeling when I went into that chapter. I went deep, deep down into what that means, because you know, pain and suffering is part of the human condition. It afflicts everybody to certain degrees. And I wanted to really address things like the dark night of the soul, which when you said, thank you, dark night of the soul, I'm right there with you. Some of my greatest lessons I've ever learned was during having a dark night of the soul. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, but it's the only way we really can grow is to take a deep dive into that dark, deep, dark blue sea that isn't always so blue and go down deep in there and find out what's there. You know, it's like, stop pushing it away. Stop hiding from it. So in the area of addiction, and I've, you know, known and loved and lost people to addiction, so I know it. You know, it's interesting to me because that chapter, boy, when I went into, excuse me, especially even the Bill Wilson's, you know, what really woke him up to never be the same again, the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, which was a mystical experience for him. I was really looking at it so closely. I put it right under the lens and I was like, wow, you know, what is it that we're looking for when our soul, our heart and soul is aching so deeply that all we want to do is just check out, that all we want to do is just, you know, peace out and get the hell out of here. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, whoa, 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 people. You know, come on, let's be together on this one, because life can be a, you can put all of your adjectives you want to put in it. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Real, you know what, okay? And it's going to just, you know, grab you, swallow you up, and spit you out every chance it can get. And you got to know what you're made of. You need to know what you are made of, and the universe is here to help you.
Yep. But I am so glad for two things. Whether you wrote this before or after COVID, right now it's one of, I think, humanity's greatest challenges across the board. Now, I'm talking about, and the quote you have in here is beautiful. Every form of, by Carl Jung, every form of addiction is bad, no matter whether the narcotic be alcohol, more morphine, or idealism. Let me read it again. Every form of addiction is bad, no matter whether the narcotic be alcohol or morphine or idealism. And what he's saying is, if you're addicted to food, if you're addicted to the internet, if you're addicted to your cell phone, if you're addicted to a person. But one of the things I loved about this is the way you talked about it and put it in the book. And thank you for your reference to Bill Wilson, because one of the things that I always ask myself, why did it take Wilson almost 30 years to write a letter to Carl Jung to literally thank him for establishing, if not for Carl Jung, there would be no 12-step program on the planet that had anything to do with spirituality? And I love it. I'm sorry it took Bill so long for him to acknowledge you in the role he played. But the good news is, when you read the letter from Wilson is great, but the letter from Carl Jung is so revealing, and it was so sad. And when I read it, I realized this was a man that in this letter, he is very clear that he says, I wish I could have done more. I was afraid to do more. Now, if Carl Jung, the way we know him, the way you've got him in the book, and the doors that he opens, even now when we move to the rest of your book, all those doors he opened, and we think how amazing, and he's admitting, I was holding back. I was afraid to do more. I couldn't talk more. I was shocked to know that he's like most of us. Shocked and relieved, because I think sometimes we hold back. And I'd like for you to talk to that, because the rest of your book, in my opinion, is about not holding back. Right?
Yeah.
Did I get that okay?
Yeah, you certainly did. No, it is about not holding back. You know, it is really about going in towards our fear. You know, it's like, what are we really holding ourselves back from? You know, I'm very much about the inquiry. I'm very much about asking questions. My first book was Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change Everything Forever. that jump-started this whole thing for me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think it's really important to ask ourselves some serious questions along the life journey. Do you know what I mean? And so to even ask yourself daily, what's holding me back today? Let's start in present moment, real time. You know, like, wake up. If you're feeling like you're feeling reticent, you're feeling fear, you're feeling something, you know, it's like you don't really know what it is, but you're feeling it. Ask yourself some questions. What am I feeling? What am I afraid of? What am I holding myself back from? What am I afraid to discover about myself? Why is going to into the unknown so frightening to me? What, I'm going to feel out of control? Okay, so we're going to be out of control. We can't control everything. We can't control everything, including death. But, you know, I'm not talking about the literal death. We have to have little deaths along the way. That's what the dark night of the soul is even about. It's like experiencing the death of the ego. It's experiencing the death of the small self, the small little girl and little boy in all of us that just wants to hold ourselves back because we're too scared. You know, we want mommy and daddy to take care of us and to make it okay for us, you know. We have to rise and be those people that are empowered, that make powerful decisions for ourselves. So those questions, Dr. Pat, I'm big on asking yourself questions daily.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really fascinating. I do work with women in addiction and recovery. And, you know, you get to be on the pulse of what's really in their hearts and minds, what makes their skin crawl every day. And you would think, well, maybe it's the politics. No, it's not really. It's like, how do I get up every day? How do I put one foot in front of the other? How do I not use? How do I not drink? What are my tools? What are my practices? And what am I going to do spiritually today? And it's the backbone of it. But one of the things you talk about in the book, which I think is so important, and I need to touch upon it because it really leads, you know, to where we're going, and that is the spiritual initiation, is not being afraid to communion with the invisible.
Mm.
Now, I have gone to therapy, kicked out of Catholic boarding school for claiming that Jesus talked to me, and I'm 6 years old. But how do we help people understand? Nowhere does it say we are not capable, able, or allowed to do this. Hello.
Oh, you're touching on so many powerful things today, and thank you for that. You know, that's really what I'm proposing in the book, to take people on this journey, and things like to sit quietly, you know, even in contemplation, and ask. You know, ask ourselves, you know, how do I listen? You talked about earlier about listen. How do I receive guidance? How do I allow that which maybe I cannot see and I don't really know what it is? You know, we define, I say this in the book, we define, you know, we all grew up hearing descriptions of God. You know, we just imagine this archetypal description of God was some old man with a long beard and a robe, you know, in a biblical context term of what God looks like. We don't know what God looks like. God is everything. God is in everything and in everyone. Do you know what I mean? So
I do. But I think God even says that.
I hope so.
Well, somewhere, I think God says that, right?
Yes. And whether you're declaring yourself the son of God or the daughter of God or whatever. You know, again, listen, this is for us to define. This is your journey. This is your divine journey. Make it whatever you want it to be. You know, don't be afraid. Don't hold yourself back. Make this what you want it to be, people, because this is it. I mean, whether you believe in coming back or reincarnation, that's fine. But while we're here right now, what do you want to make this journey about? What is it for you? And you have a right to decide what you want that to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is a time now where you take us to the next level, and that is enabling us to activate our supernatural powers. And so that's how I knew when I was reading the book, and I went back to the book again. I'm like, okay, so she's like me. She, like, grew up with some, like, she was, like, had to be watching something like I was watching, right? And how do we know that this is tapping into our consciousness? You cannot put a movie out there. There's only one movie, I think, that I've heard released recently that didn't make it to the blockbuster. There's only one Marvel movie that I've heard didn't make it to the blockbuster. We could do a whole other show, and I could tell you why it didn't. But look at where we are. You know, look at what we're plugging into. You and I were chatting about The Matrix, but that's only the beginning. You know, we now have a pop culture that is stepping up the bar in levels of imagination and creativity. But are you fascinated by the fact that so many of them are about supernatural powers? Supernatural powers, right? I mean, comic books, how many decades back do we want to go with that?
Yeah, and that's right. For anybody that was a sci-fi lover, which we all, you know, you and I clearly are, or anything that we watched that took us into the more extraordinary realms of, you know, human existence that go beyond just, you know, again, these levels of consciousness that keep us in a more sort of mundane way of looking at life. We went there because we knew that there was something more. We just sensed that there's something more to this existence, to the cosmos, to the universe. We, you know, for those that really feel sensitive to that or can intuit that, you know, it's like that Peggy Lee song, is that all there is?
All right.
Is this all there is? I don't think so. You know, but if you want to think that, go for it. You know what I mean? If you think it's just what you're seeing, it is, and that's what holds meaning for you, I respect that, you know. But I do think why we go to those movies, we watch these Marvel comedy movies, comic books, go to the screen, and each one of them just gets more phantasmagorical than the next one, is because we want to be taken there. And we want it for that 90 minutes or however long they are, we want to really be at one with those supernatural characters. We want to believe that we have those supernatural abilities. No, we can't fly, you know, like they do. We can't do, but we can do a lot, you know, that might be considered supernatural or superpowers, you know. And we only know is that we use a very small percentage of our powers and a very small percentage of the brain's power, you know, which is fascinating to me.
And, you know, it's really interesting about the brain power. I was reading an article where they said that that's a myth. And I said, you know, not really. Okay, I know we use 100% of our brain, but that's not the real question. Do we use it to the capacity that it is available to us? And we know the answer is no, because we find stories. We find people that literally can leap tall buildings to save a child or lift a car, right? I mean, this is not made up stuff. But what I love about this is that when we look at the way of the light worker, and when we take a look at what I wanted to talk with you about in the last minutes left, first of all, I cannot believe that you reference Evelyn Underhill.
Oh,
I... Her book, oh, my gosh, I pulled it out the other day to read it, and I'm reading this, and it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Did she actually mention that?
Evelyn Underhill was...
Oh, the mysticism book?
Oh, I mean, she was, and it was divine providence the way I found the workings of Evelyn. You know how that works. Talk about the synchronicity. I was like, you know, mysticism. I'm going into these areas into discover Evelyn Underhill, and I'm like, okay, wow. You know, that is the world of which I'm speaking of. You know, and even what I cite in the book about her particular mystical experience, just walking down some, you know, funky street, you know, where she suddenly had this mystical experience. And that's why I say you could have a mystical experience doing anything and everything.
Yep.
You don't have to be sitting under the Bodhi tree like the Buddha. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, yes, maybe he had the aha, you know, moment of infinity at that time because he was a seeker, or so the story goes that he was, that he had that great enlightenment that happened. But we're on the trajectory of having these mystical experiences that we can have just about at any time or at any place if we're available to experience them.
Yeah. Look, I can't say enough about how enlightening is not the right word, how activating this latest project, this book of yours is. And I have to say activating because, it's a book that talks about so many things, but the way you've done the book is in every section of the book, you have either something to think about or something to do. Thank you for that. And then you ask questions or you'll give us things like say silently. And again, this is another amazing body of work from you. I want to ask you this last thing. First of all, please tell us again how we get a copy of the book, how we find out about you. And then I would love to know your personal message, your vision. What is Aura's vision?
Well, first of all, thank you in advance, Dr. Pat, for having me on your fantastic show and really holding space for this conversation. You know, it's been very illuminating to be able to go into these areas with you. So thank you for that. People can go to auranagers.com, order my book on Amazon, you know, for that immediate delivery that they do because they're taking over the world. So there's that. And as far as my vision, really, my vision or my desire, I should say, that comes from the deep recesses of my heart and soul is really just to have us all awaken. Just to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up from the dream, you know, and really see that this is and can continue to be heaven on earth. But it's our job to make it that.
Thank you so much for everything. Thank you for, first of all, writing something that comes from your heart that touches upon the days, the times, the world that we all live in. Whether I'm talking about somebody struggling in three jobs to pay the rent, you know, in another part of the country or another part of the world, or somebody that's sitting at the top of a company not even thinking about the fact that they are millionaires and still don't have enough money. And what I mean by this is what we need for the times we're in now and the times we're about to go into now. And so thank you so much for all of that. Thank you for everything you do. And then also on your website, people can connect with you. They can do things with you, right? And there, you said there's an audio version of the book, right?
Audio version coming out very soon, which I'll make that announcement on my website. And
okay.
I'm happy to have people reach out to me. There's a way to do that. There's an email on the on the website. So please, you know, reach out. Tell me what's going on your journey.
Good. Great.
Next.
Yeah. And when the audio version comes out, let us know so we can tell everybody.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You bet.
Love it.
Again, everyone. And by the way, we didn't get to everything in here, but there's so much. It is really one of those books that you can pick up and you can sit down and you can think to yourself, what does this message mean? I want to leave everybody with this from the book, in part of the book called The Way of the Light Worker. And I want to leave you all with this from Aura. I am a light worker. My light guides me and shines a light on others. May we light up the world with the light in our hearts and awaken together in divine wisdom. Thank you, Aura. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you all for tuning us in. You're the best audience on the planet. We'll see you next time.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Hey, and good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound.
Over on, looks like, 522 eastbound, just west of West Main Street, around Mopolis 22, a recent collision partially blocking the left lane and partially blocking the right-hand of the lane. That's a recent collision on State Route 522 eastbound, just west of West Main Street. But that's all right. Stay tuned, because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. A new survey reveals one in five workers are likely to switch jobs in the next year as the Great Resignation keeps rolling. It shows workers around the globe are looking for higher pay and more fulfillment on the job. PricewaterhouseCoopers presented survey results from more than 40 countries at the World Economic Forum. Stacey Abrams is slamming Republicans focused on attacking her while ignoring Georgia's issues.
Answer from Republicans, from our former senator to our current governor, is to fight me instead of fighting the problems that are facing Georgia.
The former Georgia state representative and Democratic candidate for governor expanded on her comments over the weekend. She cited poor rankings in maternal and infant mortality rates, the number of those uninsured, gun violence, and lack of mental health resources. She also called Republican Brian Kemp a failed governor, noting he's made choices that have hurt Georgians in need of support. In New York, there are reports that pepper spray is being sold near City Hall and being advertised as a way to help keep safe on the New York City subway system. Mayor Eric Adams says he does not want people to arm themselves for protection.
We must make our system safe, and that is what I'm going to do in spite of the pushback of many people who say we should not have police officers on our system.
Crime on the subway trains and MTA buses is up about 60% year to date. Police are still looking for the suspect who shot and killed a man at random on a Q train Sunday. Vietnam veterans who made it home but later died of war injuries will be remembered next month. For the first time ever, the names of 5,000 of those veterans will be read aloud during a special service on June 17th. The event comes on the 40th anniversary of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki is signing on at MSNBC. The network made it official after weeks of unconfirmed speculation. MSNBC said Psaki will host a new original program currently under development for streaming. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Lenny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career and they talked to me about it.
He was done in just months.
I did do it online.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months with zero experience at My Computer Career.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies today and a 20% chance of showers. We'll also have a little bit of wind out of the south to southeast at 3 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures around 63 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, lows back down to about 52. For Wednesday, partly sunny skies, shaping up to be a pretty nice day. Highs of around 67, 68. Mostly cloudy skies for Wednesday night, lows down to about 53. Thursday, more clouds and a 40% chance of showers returning. Highs of around 66.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Forging a Life, Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny with Coach Christine Clark. Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your very being is softened by fire as you take hits that shape you. Christine is a transformational life coach dedicated to empowering entrepreneurs to create a whole life success on their terms. On this show, you will be forged into a magnificent, powerful, highly functional work of art that is your significant life. Now, here's your host, Christine Clark.
Join me, Coach Christine Clark, as we forge our lives. We are going to go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Who will you be when you believe you have what it takes?
Hello, hello. I am Coach Christine Clark, and this is Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny. I'm here every fourth Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern. That's U.S. time. Hello to everybody listening on the radio waves, those of you who are listening on the internet, watching us on YouTube and Facebook. Hello, hello. You know, as always, one of you absolutely beautiful souls will receive a free coaching program. You know, build your bonfire, blaze into your destiny with laser coaching. This is giving away one program free with each month. Just send me an email to Christine@SunglowTransformation with your name, your phone number, and your email address, subject line, free laser coaching. Grab that opportunity to move yourself forward. I love working with people and moving them into their future. And this is an opportunity for you to be able to do that free with me. And I just love all the wonderful people that I get to meet and work with through this offer. It's been exciting. You guys are the best, absolutely the best. Today we're talking about the subconscious, you know, to manifest abundance and achieve success. You know, we simply have to tap into the subconscious, right? And what I call your inner three-year-old or your hooligan, you know, our subconscious takes up 83 to 95% of the power of the brain, and its capacity is virtually unlimited. And so why are we not excelling, you know, at life in all different ways? What's going on? And it's the tapping into the subconscious that's the difficult part. Your inner three-year-old is wily. You know, she's a hooligan, and she plays by her own rules. You know, accessing the subconscious requires us to understand that crazy inner child. So if you're ready to claim the power within, join me here, and we're going to talk about that as we go forward today. You know, you've got to meet this hooligan. And I want to introduce her to you. She is knowledgeable, and she has the power of the subconscious, which is basically 9%, 90% of the brain. If you think of a giant iceberg, you know, you got the 10% on top above the surface, and then you got the 90% underneath. That's our intellect on top, and the subconscious is all of that power, all of that underneath the surface of the water. And one of Maxwell Maltz, he was one of the authors that I cut my teeth on learning about self-development in the world. Back in the 30s or 40s when he wrote his book, he talked about it as your creative success mechanism, that piece of you that can bring to fruition, that has the power. And I want to introduce you to that three-year-old. Now, first of all, this child, she knows way too much. She has been recording everything since the day you were born that has ever happened to you. She knows everything. She knows when you fell down and skinned your knee. She knows when you spilled the milk in grade school. And she knew when you had that crush on that really good-looking kid and when you were in second grade. But she has all of it put down, and it's stored permanently on the hard drive in her absolutely, totally unlimited data bank. And she just isn't recording everything that has happened with us. She records how it felt. You know, what made you happy? What made you joyful? What made you sad? What made you frightened? And she details all of this and then categorizes it, you know, into positive and negative and sorts it out and kind of maintains it. But it's a huge thing. She has everything that has happened to you since first. I'm going to do a little screen share, and we're going to just show you a quick picture of your inner hooligans. These are your subconscious. This is your little hooligan boy and your little hooligan girl that is inside of you that have been doing recording ever since you began your journey. And she is the absolute queen of all she surveys. And that's the thing about the subconscious. The subconscious, your child is the center of the universe. And just like a three-year-old, have you ever seen a three-year-old operate? Like they are in the center and everything else is around them, is for them, meant for them. You see a little kid and he sees a bright red ball at the end of the long aisle and he's going after it because he sees it and he knows that's there specifically for him. And as the center of the total universe, everything revolves around them. And that's one of the really cool, powerful parts of your subconscious. The other piece of that, when everything revolves right around you as a child, then everything that happens is your doing. So when you're the queen of all you survey, when everything is your world, the cause and effect is limited to your self-perception. So the little three-year-old, hooligan child inside, when something is wonderful happening, when you're getting hugs, when your needs are being met, when there's harmony and good things are happening, it's like, oh, I did that. I own that. See, all this wonderfulness, that's me. Same thing when there is anger, when there is raised voices, when there is discipline, when the milk gets spilled and there's repercussions, the limiting factor is that I did that too. That's my fault, all my fault. Everything that happens is my fault. And at some point, you know, we grow out of this. Maybe when we're 16, 17, I think of kids in families where there is divorce. And how often the children believe that it was their fault or they caused the parent, the mother or the father, to leave or to not want to be together. And I think if you're late teens, you have enough comprehension of the world to figure out that that wasn't your fault, that it was between these two people. But as children, little children, we perceive it as us. It's, you know, whatever happened, it was because of us. And that's what your inner hooligan does. That's your child. She believes that everything that goes on is because of her. And that's how she recognizes the world. Now, she's got some priorities that are good to know. She wants to be right. It's her cataloging system. And so the big thing is, I'm right. I am always right. I want to be right, and I have to be right. So when a belief gets formed, when an incident happens and there is recognition, it's like, okay, this is how the world works. This is how, you know, what I see, and this is what I believe. And as soon as that judgment is made, because it's important to understand and have these judgments so that we have a solid framework to work in. So we don't want things that are wishy-washy. So as soon as we figure this out, then to be right, all the information that comes in is going to get put into that folder. And if it doesn't fit in that folder well, then we're going to just discount it. We're going to look for evidence and gather up evidence to support the idea, this value, this belief that we formed wants to be right. Your child also wants to win. You know, she is a kid and having fun is so important. And it's fun to win. It's fun to be right. And she just loves having fun and enjoying life. And that's the little kid in all of us. That's part of your subconscious, to allow that inner child to be appreciated and to be able to enjoy life and have fun and giggle and play and laugh. This is paramount. And then there's the really big one, that big priority is to keep you safe. And your subconscious wants to keep you emotionally safe above all else. Yes, we know instinctively not, you know, we're afraid of heights and we're afraid of loud noises. Those are the like basic things that are ingrained in our body, and your subconscious wants to keep you emotionally safe in addition to that. And to succeed, for your subconscious to really be feel like she's winning, like she's doing her job, is her goal is to keep you emotionally safe, so we're maximizing pleasure and we're minimizing pain. And so that's how the framework gets set up. And then she handles the information. Now we get, the brain gets millions and millions of bits of information every second. The stimulus is overwhelming. First of all, we want to know why. The brain wants to know why. It's a meaning-making machine. And you think about the little kid, the two-year-old or the three-year-old that's always asking why? Why this? Why is that? Why, you know, why can't I have the Snickers bar before I eat my vegetables? Why do I have to eat my vegetables? Why? You know, and then why is, you know, why do we have to, you know, put on shoes? Why can't we just go barefoot? The why is the meaning-making machine of the brain. And so they are always looking, you know, why, and then answering the question. The subconscious then kind of looks for how to decide what's important and what's not. First of all, once you make a judgment, it's important to continue to gather up information that supports the judgment. So that's part of it. The other piece, one of the other pieces is authority. The importance of the source. Where is the information coming from? And our first sources of authority are those people that raise us, our parents, our siblings, the immediate family. And then it spreads out so that our sources of authority are our school teachers, the people in the community that we know. And those influence, when we hear information that come from those sources, we decide that that's important, and we gather and hold on and pay attention to that stuff more than if it comes from a different source, a less authoritative source, somebody that as a child or you don't know. Now, here's the interesting part. Your little inner hooligan pays attention to all those things, but as we grow and mature, the most authoritative voice is going to be our own. Your subconscious listens to you more than anybody else. Another way that the brain, the subconscious, deals with information as it's coming in is deletion. You know, it judges what is significant and what is not. And then we look for the correlation. Does it align with our beliefs? Does it align with our values? Does it align with what we already know and believe? And if so, well, then let's let this piece in. But if it doesn't, then let's leave it out. It's not that important. If you walked into a flower shop and all of you believe that that roses are red and violets are blue, and then you walk into the flower shop and you see yellow and orange and green roses, your brain might say, those aren't roses. Roses are red. So those must be some other flower. Violets are blue. So you see some other violets, and it's like, that's not a violet. It must be some other plant. That's part of the deletion. And then we have distortion. We distort the facts, the information. We kind of slant it so that it fits with our pre-existing beliefs. It's just easier that way. It's the way our brain manages. One of the reasons why eyewitness testimony is not always exactly right, because people are going to see what they're looking for, see what they believe, see what fits. And that way we can get rid of a lot of extra information because it's just too overwhelming to bring it all in. And then the last piece that your brain uses to figure things out is generalization. To attribute experience from one event to an entire category, which the experience was an example of. So that is really great for us to learn to kind of group things together so we don't have to relearn it every single time. And let's say you walk into a bakery. And you've never been in a bakery before, and you walk into the bakery, and they say, well, what would you like to have? Well, I don't know. I'm going to look at this and look at this, look at this. And the person behind the counter starts getting kind of cranky. And I was like, you know, would you make up your mind? Figure it out. You know, it's just, you know, it's a pastry. Pick one. You want a croissant? You want a donut? You want a filled Bismarck? It's like, you might think that all bakery owners are crabby. No, it's just that one. But it was your first experience. And so you might attribute that to something else. You might attribute that to all bakers. And the part of this that goes with the current conversation within our country is that we attribute experiences to different people. And we decide, well, you know, all those people drive like crazy. They're just crazy drivers. Or we say, well, these people, they're just, you know, they never show up for work. And we are attributing an experience from one and then categorizing it as experience. This is an example of how all. And that gets in the way of us really being able to connect, being able to expand, to learn, to really grow and be the people that we want to be in the community that we want to be, because we'll generalize and we have to relearn those generalizations. One of the things that is really, really important to know is that all of this information that we're talking about is knowledge to understand their inner hooligan, how she operates, what's going on inside. And knowledge is then power, because if you understand it, you can change it, you can shift it. And that's what's important. So one of the biggest pieces that your inner hooligan has is that a story of the unknown is scary. And that wily inner child is hell-bent to keep you confined to your current status quo. And that means that if you're not living your best life, you got to break out of that. But the subconscious thinks that what is unknown is more frightening, is more dangerous than what is known. And all of our dreams live outside that comfort zone, live outside that peace. And when we can speak with our subconscious in a way that it understands us, it allows us to break through that. The truth is that we do new things all the time. We do that. We can go into a new situation and we learn. We go to school and we learn. We go to high school and we learn. We are always going into new situations. But when you get into a place where the new situation is us wanting to make a change in our life, us wanting to live into our destiny, live into the future, we have a calling, we have something in our heart that we're excited about, then we are stepping into that alone. We don't have the structure of going to a job and learning the ropes on the job. And that gives even a higher fear factor for your subconscious, because there is no guidelines. And that's where that subconscious can really get in the way of us doing something we really want to do, because it wants to keep us where we're at, because what's known, it's understood. And it's way better than diving into unknown waters. We're going to take a little break here. And when we come back, your inner hooligan has its own communication structure. It understands how to communicate, but we have to communicate with it in its own way. It has its own dialect, its own way of being. So when we come back, it's like, how do I talk to my inner child so it understands me, pays attention to me? That's what we're going to talk about when we come back from our break. I'm Coach Christine Clark. You can find me at my website, Sun Glow Transformation. I am also on the web at Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Sun Glow Transformation, and also Coach Christine Clark. We're going to break, and then we will come right back.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Tune in to Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Nice music. Yes, I am Coach Christine Clark. This is Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny. I'm here every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern. You know, our inner hooligan has its own communication structure. And to communicate with your subconscious, you really have to kind of get to know it and then do work the way it works. Your inner hooligan, your child, loves to serve and will dish up anything you really desire. It wants to please you. It wants to bring to you that which you want most. And the issue is that it really has a very simplified language. And she needs a very clear directions. And so often we are giving mixed signals. And I want to see, tell ourselves that we want to be the number one salesperson for the division for the fourth quarter. And in order to do that, we're going to reach out. We're going to make 14 calls every single day to these people and really work the numbers and work it. And so we're dive in and we're making our phone calls and people aren't answering and they're not calling back. And then some people talk to you and say, oh, that'd be great, but let's talk about that next year. Let's revisit that next year. And a few people you talk to say, oh, you know, that's great, but I don't think that's really what we're looking for right now. And okay, fine. And you start going, this is so hard. This is so difficult. It's like pulling teeth to be able to talk to people. All I need to do is be able to sit down with people. Nobody wants to sit down with me. And your hooligan is sitting there taking notes. Okay, this is hard. This is no fun. This is great. I'm not having fun. This is awful. We don't like it. It's like, okay, so we should not do this. And next thing you know, your subconscious is serving up procrastination. It's serving up perfectionism. It's serving up ways to avoid doing this because the information you're giving your subconscious is, I don't like doing this. It's like, well, then let's not do it because my first priority is let's have fun. So what happens is our subconscious is always on, always listening, and always filling in, and we'll do what we want if we can give it the right directions. The energy of the subconscious is so simple. It takes our instructions very literally. and she's tuned in the entire time. She's taken notes the entire time, and she wants to pay attention to the information that's important. There are pieces, parts of what's coming in that are going to get, spotlighted. First of all, we talked about the authority. First, authority is originally those people that are surrounding you. As a young child, it's those people that are in authority around you, your parents and so forth. As we get older, it becomes us. We become the authority. And so what we're saying out loud and what we're saying in our head carries the most weight. And then the next piece is the repetition. How often is something said? Growing up in my household, we had traditions around Christmas. And so in your household, we have traditions around Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, then those are things that we remember. It happens again and again. There's stories within the family that get told again and again. And that repetition means that these things are significant. These things are important, and we want to hold on to these and take it to heart. Your subconscious is the same way. Anything that gets repeated is like, oh, this is really important. So if you are waking up in the morning and saying, oh, I love my life. I have all the energy in the world. This is fantastic. Can't wait to get to work. Yay. Then it's like, that's great. But if you're waking up in the morning and saying, oh, if I could only sleep for 10 more minutes, I am so tired. I never seem to be able to get ahead. There is so much on my plate. It's just wearing me out. I just can't stand this anymore. There's no time. There's no time to do the work. There's no time to make the phone calls. There's no time to spend with my kids. I am just out of time. And guess what? Your subconscious is going, oh, we're out of time. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get no time. No time, always no time. Because you're telling it repeatedly that that's what's important. And your subconscious doesn't have the intellectual understanding. It's like a small child. It is a three-year-old. And so whatever you say, it takes it verbatim. Absolutely, that's what you're talking about, so that's what it is, and that's what you're going to get. The other piece that makes information important is the emotional energy. And here's the thing. I'm going to do another little quick screen share. Here, the emotional energy that you have, and you can be, oh, you did such a great job. It's wonderful. Yay, good for you. You get accolades. You get your diploma. You get recognized for all the wonderful things you did. Everybody thought that the speech you did, that the paper you did, that those artists, you know, the painting you did were fantastic, and you're getting your accolades. You're getting it. Excitement, and it's all wonderful, and that emotional happy charge is woohoo, yay for me. Mom or dad come in and say, good job, we're so proud of you. That's are such a slob. You always make mistakes. Can you ever get things right? Again, emotional energy, emotional charge. Now here's the thing that happens is that your subconscious does not recognize the difference between positive emotional energy and negative emotional energy. The emotional energy is equal, so it doesn't matter what's coming down the pike, but if it's charged, then your subconscious is going, oh, this is good stuff. Hang on to it, right? We want more of this because it thrives on emotion. What we want to be aware of is what are we giving it? What are we pushing into? That's what is in, so we can say, okay, when negative things happen, then we have to dissipate that energy. We have to manage it. When good things happen, take it on, hold it. But whatever gets the most energy gets your subconscious, your inner hooligan's attention, and that's what she's going to do. So those are the things that your subconscious pays attention to. Now, there's some mistakes that we make besides just the way we're communicating is a lot of times we want to lead with our intellect. We want to lead with our ego. We want to lead with that top 10% of the iceberg that's above the surface because it thinks it knows what's going on. And what really is that the intellect makes bad choices as far as what to do or how to do it, because the ego gets involved. It wants to look good. It wants to be able to get approval from others as the most important thing. It wants it to be bright and shiny and the steps forward to be easy and to look suave while we're sweating, right? When you allow your subconscious, your heart, your soul to decide what you want to carry forward, what you want to do, the intellect is a great tool to bring in to create the steps to get there, but it isn't a good leader, it's a great follower. So the first mistake is that we tend to lead with our head rather than with our heart. And if we can switch that around, we are plugging into the power of our subconscious so much easier. The other thing that we get caught up on is believing that there's a quick fix, that whatever it is we can have should happen faster. So many people I work with, where are you at? Well, I'm not as far as long as I want to be. Like, okay, yes, we understand this. Because we always wish that we were further along. We always wish it could have happened better. Now, transformation in and of itself can happen very rapidly. You can do a walkthrough, do an exercise, and you can shift. You can release some baggage, get a new story, and have a clearer understanding of something that now is empowering that used to be disempowering. That can happen. But just because you have that moment of clarity and brightness, you still have to do the work to maintain that, because we all have this entire life history of baggage and preconceived notions and ways we have operated that have to be massaged and reorganized. And the truth is that old patterns are going to pop back up. So it always takes time. And one of the things we fall prey to is the idea that I should be able to have an epiphany and never ever have to go back to the pain that I experienced before, or I should be able to be further along in my journey, have more than I have now. The process should be fast, because we get told in media that there's overnight successes. What they don't tell us is that that person has been working on their project for 15 years. So the belief in the quick fix actually kind of breaks down and gets in the way of what the subconscious can bring to us. So what do you need to know to get where you want to go? Your 3-year-old doesn't care about tangible rewards. So that is when you talk about what you want, when you set your goals, of course, we can have goals that include what we want as far as finances, what we want as far as a home, area of the country we want to live in. Those are part of our visualization, and those are good to have. Those are the head part. The heart part speaks to the subconscious, because your subconscious doesn't care about tangible rewards, but it does care about the intangible, the feeling of success, to be proud of yourself, to have fulfillment because of the work you do, to be excited working with others, helping other people achieve. There's that intrinsic feel-good reward when someone else has success because of what you did. Those are the feelings that the subconscious will plug into. So when you not just visualize your goal, but you have to feel it, and that feeling is the thing that engages that inner hooligan child, wants her to step in so she can do the work and work alongside you because she's excited about the emotions. Your 3-year-old doesn't understand future tense. If I do now, when I have that first best-selling book, then I can have the Cadillac. Subconscious, later, I'm not even there. Because future does not resonate. The subconscious only operates in the here and now. And it's always taking information and bringing it to us, but it doesn't operate in the future. So you always have to talk to it as it is right here, right now. And so you speak affirmations, not as if you're going to get something, but as if it's already done. I am so happy and excited that I get to go speak to three groups this month. Yay, it's done. It's here. It's now. So when we come back from our break, you know, how do you speak to that inner three-year-old? We understand that it's got its own language. It's got its own way of categorizing things. So what does it take to really connect to that inner three-year-old so that you and she can work together to create the world that you want to create? And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. I am Coach Christine Clark. You can find me at my website, sunglowtransformation.com. Click on the link to get a free coaching session there. If you would like to put your name in for the laser coaching program that's going to be given away this month, do send your name, your email, and your phone number to me at christine@sunglowtransformation.com. Look me up on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook at Sunglow Transformation and also at Coach Christine. And we will be right back after this break.
Expanding Love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit ElizabethAnnCunningham.com and subscribe.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com. Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Emotional Elevation with me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's D-E-N-E-E.com.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, I-T-Y.com.
Hello, this is Coach Christine Clark, and this is Forging a Life, Going Beyond the Curve, Calling in Your Unique Destiny. We're talking about our inner hooligan, our inner child, which is the subconscious, one of the most powerful forces on this world, and how do we access that power to bring to fruition everything that we want in our life. And you have to learn how to speak to that inner three-year-old. Understanding how the mind works and how the subconscious operates is so important to be able to have that awareness. So when you're working with your hooligan, really this, it starts with awareness. Everything we've talked about this hour, when you understand the process of sorting out the information and what the filters are to let it through, when you understand that once there's a value established, that your subconscious will go find evidence and build that file folder for you. So with awareness, then you can change how you are interacting, what you're saying, both through your mouth and in your head, and also the emotions that you're attaching to it, the things that you are paying attention to, because that all filters and funnels into what your subconscious is picking up and then what it's deeming that you want based on the evidence. So it all starts with your own awareness and then being able to change up how you're handling things, how you are approaching life, really. First of all, remember that you want to be able to speak repeatedly with authority and a positive inflection. Say those things that you desire every single day. Build yourself up, and you are the ultimate authority for your subconscious. As you hear things from other sources and expand your knowledge base and expand your understanding of the world, you are going to decide different people are worth paying attention to. And when you do it, then your subconscious automatically does that because it's your choice. So as the ultimate authority, what you say and how you speak to yourself is the big decision maker for whether or not you're going to get what you want, because it depends on the messages you're giving, that internal piece of you. The positive inflection is huge. You want to be able to put a lot of happy, good juice on it, on everything that you do. And when things don't go right, breathe, let them go. Recenter yourself. When you go down the rabbit hole of why and this is awful and I never, your subconscious is paying attention to that. And that is where we can really sabotage ourselves. So understand that life has happened and it's up and down. And what's present in the moment, you can always take a new step forward. And that's the big thing. What are you telling yourself and what is your subconscious taking notes on? You know, speak of your goals and your desires in first person as if it has already occurred. This is easy. This is, you know, create your affirmations, create your, what you want. So you are saying, I am speaking to groups of 20 to 25 people three times every month. I am publishing my book. I feel so good and excited knowing that my book is out there and people are learning from it. This is fun. Anything you speak of as if it has already happened, your subconscious believes it's already happened because that's the way it perceives and will work to bring that to you. When you say, I love going around and meeting with people. I love having coffees with so and finding out all these exciting, wonderful people. People love working with me. That says this is what's happened. This is current. This is affirmed. And your subconscious will open it up and say, oh, this is what we want. It'll bring to you. And that's the magic magnetism that people talk about with the subconscious is when the idea is instilled, the subconscious will go to work for you. You're going to be walking in a store and then you're going to see somebody over there. It's like, I don't know why I want to go talk to that person. I want to go talk to the person. You go over and say, hey, person, I'm a person. I've got a book that I've just published and I don't know why I'm supposed to talk to you, but here's my card. And they go, oh, hey, we're a service that disseminates, positive stuff. And let's go have coffee. It happens. You get those intuitive hits that come from that subconscious having the radar open because you've told it what you're looking for by using current tense in your desires. So you listen to yourself. Pay attention to the words that you're using and the voices that are speaking when you're talking, whether you're talking out loud or talking in your head. If you are berating yourself, telling yourself that no matter what you do, it never works out. No matter how hard you try, it isn't going to happen. I have no time. And I don't have any energy. I can't do everything I need to do. There's too much. Your subconscious is hearing all that and making sure that you don't have time, that you are tired, that it is too much. When you are angry because you have done due diligence and you have did step A, step B, step C, and you're not getting the results you want, and you say, well, this is just dumb, this is stupid, I hate having to call so many people, I hate having to constantly go out and do copies, your subconscious is listening and saying, okay, well, let's not do that, let's procrastinate, let's sabotage this. And the worst part is that inner critic. When the inner critic starts beating the crap out of you, that's your own voice telling yourself that you are not up to the task, that you are not worthy, that you're not, period. And your subconscious is hearing that. And what a question you want to ask is, would you say that to a three-year-old? If you're inner self was sitting there in front of you, would you be saying these things to that child? Would you tell that three-year-old that because they fell off the teeter-totter and chipped their tooth that they're no longer ever going to be photogenic? No, we wouldn't do that. Would you say those things to a friend? No, you wouldn't say those things to the friend. So don't say it to yourself because your subconscious is listening and it's taking it all in. And you have the power to change it up by what you're telling that child, that inner child. One of the things that you can do is what I call mirror exercise, and just take a moment each night and look at yourself in the mirror and say in first person, Christine, Benny, Jacob, whoever I am, looking into the mirror and saying, I am so proud of you. You did great things today. You got out of bed. You went to work. You showed up well. I think it's wonderful. And then the last thing you say is, I love you. And when you say that to yourself in the mirror, you're speaking to that inner child, that subconscious that is getting its strokes, that is getting to be appreciated. It gets the win. And then it can bring empowerment to you. And the worse that little exercise feels, the way more we need it. So to get outside your comfort zone, we always are stepping into new things. But when we go for something that we're really called to do, quite often there's not a lot of structure in it because we're not doing it as part of our schooling. We're not doing it as part of a job. We're doing it as something that we personally are invested in. And if it's heartfelt and if there's a lot of passion and we're stepping into it, that is really scary for your subconscious because you're stepping outside the comfort zone and you are just, you're going into the unknown, which is part of it. The subconscious loves to stay in what's known, loves to keep us because even if it's not fun, it's not happy, even if our circumstances isn't the best circumstance in the world, it's what we know, and that's why we hang on to it. That's why it's very difficult to overcome bad habits because we're used to them. When you're stepping out to really go for something, especially if you're really passionate about it, that your heart is in it, that's a lot of risk. You're risking so much emotion because you've elevated the stakes, because you really, really, really feel strongly about this. And that subconscious, that inner child's going, oh my goodness, we got, oh, this is scary. And so the fear you feel and sabotage that shows up, it's just your subconscious wanting to keep you comfortable, because that unknown step is A, we have no idea what's going to happen, and B, you're really passionate about it, and that's really risky. And so what we want to be able to do is acknowledge that, okay, I understand you're trying to keep me safe. I appreciate you for what you have done for me in the past. And it's okay, I've got this. To be able to acknowledge your inner hooligan, that he and she has done their due diligence. I appreciate you. You have guided me this far. And I want you to know that we're going to be okay. Talk to that child. Let them know that this fear does not necessarily have to be, and that it's going to be all right. And release. Release the child. I no longer need your protection in this. You have done good. You've done a good job. Thank you for your care. I've got this. And that's the really important part that we want to be able to have. So you learn to speak to that inner child in ways that it understands. Let it have fun. Appreciate every single thing that you do, because when we are in disappreciation, when we're in, no matter what we do isn't enough, and we keep telling ourselves that, pretty soon that little inner child, that subconscious says, okay, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home, because this isn't fun anymore. So we don't want to do that. So you want to be able to appreciate, you want to be able to recognize and what it's done for you, and say, yeah, let's work together and move forward so we can achieve our dreams. I'm hoping that what is important that you take from this today is that the subconscious has its own language. It categorizes different things, and that absolutely you have what it takes to turn it around, to communicate, to love on that inner child, and she will love you back, and she will bring to you what you want, if you understand to be able to speak to her the way you want to speak to her. You know, the subconscious is absolutely powerful. Your inner three-year-old has the ability to bring you the life you desire, and it's important to work with the unconscious. Work with her rather than browbeat her into submission or ignore her. And when you love on your inner child, when you can respect her needs, you will find that this hooligan child loves you to your absolute core. And she will call in the resources and the opportunities for you. Things you could never even imagine will show up in your life. You do have what it takes. And you can do, you can have, and you can be anything that you desire. Absolutely. I'm Coach Christine Clark. Until next time, keep hammering. You've got this.
Thanks for tuning in to Forging a Life with Christine Clark. Remember to acknowledge your talents and skills. Your gifts are the elements needed to claim the life of your dreams. Believe you have what it takes to forge the life you want. Through intuition, trusting yourself, and the process, take action and call your life into a vibrant, beautifully lit existence aligned with your core self. To learn more or work with Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
Expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily...